Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is March 3rd, 2021, and it's Wednesday night. You know what that means. AEW NXT review. It might not mean that for much longer, but by God, right now, it means we're reviewing AEW and NXT. So here's the drill. We're going to talk about the news that has dropped this week and the speculation and all that. We're going to talk about what has happened tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about this weekend's Revolution pay-per-view. Thursday at noon, I'll be joined by Sam Laterna to make official predictions for the show. So make sure you guys tune in for that. And of course, we had the List in Your Boy news show today. So if you want to hear about NXT changing nights and all kinds of stuff like that, you can get a little more in-depth on the List in Your Boy. But Alex Pawlowski, person who has covered this show since the start of the Wednesday Night Wars, when you hear Matt Men Wrestling Podcast, very reputable, by the way, somebody I've conferred with, Andrew Zarian, has been on our shows before, dropping the news, oh, well, hey, maybe NXT's moving to Tuesdays, and it's looking like it. What'd you think?
I think it's good for wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's really hard to watch two at a time at this point, like, unless you're doing the two screens thing that I have to do every week. Which isn't great for my neck, but, I think it's really cool to be able to like say, hey, Tuesdays, I get to watch NXT. If they have a great card, I'll tune in live. If not, I'll catch it on the DVR or whatever. And Wednesdays you have AEW. You don't have to worry about, well, what am I watching on AEW while whatever is going on NXT, because it feels like NXT is doing this thing, at least right now, we're like, hey, let's have championship matches on our TV shows.
Yeah.
Like real ones. Not ones where like the champ runs away, but like real ones. And that's hopefully will get people looking at it. But AEW is over there as well, and you have to forced to make a choice. And now you're not. And I think that Tuesdays and Wednesdays are going to quickly become the two best days of wrestling of the week, because it's just looking that way.
Robert?
So from a I like watching both shows perspective, this is nice. It's very nice. From a I have to cover this perspective.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Like hard for us to remove ourselves from that too, right? Because
right. Why do we have to watch something every night of the week is my main issue here.
As I brought up before we went on the air, you know the drill. We've been here before. Impact Wrestling, I would say 50-50 chance they just move to Thursdays when this happens. Why wouldn't they?
I would say that they should, because they will get buried in the ground if they do not move to Thursdays. Despite the Tony Khan paid ads, it's not going to matter, you know? NXT will take precedent and Impact should move to Thursday, but that also means another night of wrestling.
Well, guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Again, I don't know how the format of this will change if we do Tuesdays on NXT. And here's the thing. I know some people will say, well, why aren't you doing an NXT post show? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a good chance we might not. Impact pay-per-views outdraw NXT pay-per-views for our post shows. So if the demand is there, we're probably doing it. Evan Wright says Impact owns the night. They won't move. Duh. Yeah.
They ain't going to own the night, pal. Let me tell you, they're not going to own the night if NXT's on Tuesday. They can own Thursday, maybe.
Impact Wrestling has been on every single night but Sunday. At some point in its run, they have been on every single night but Sunday. And sometimes they've not been on any night at all. Yeah. Because Destination America or the Hunting Channel or whatever forgot to air. Here's a funny story, guys. What was the name of that Hunting Channel?
The Pursuit Channel.
Okay. I don't talk about my personal life a lot on this show, but my wife's best friend, big hunting guy, right? Big hunting guy, had like a show that he produced. And I was telling him about how this wrestling show that I watched was on this Hunting Channel. And I was like, man, I've seen some of the stuff that they put on there. You could probably get your show on there. And he looked at me and he said, dude, my show is on there.
That's terrible.
Yes. His show was on that channel. And you know what? They didn't miss any airings. So I would imagine that they would end up being moving nights. Billy Torres, you say no NXT post shows. I did not say that. I said we would see how things go. Easier said than done to schedule 5 nights a week for post shows. But get in your super chats, guys. I'm going to do a specific super chat drive here. I want you guys to super chat us and recklessly speculate on who AEW is signing. Because here's the gimmick. If they don't get super chatted, we aren't speculating on them. That's the rule.
Great.
AEW Dynamite kicked off with Shaq and Jade Cargill beating Red Velvet and Cody Rhodes. This match over-delivered. Shaq over-delivered. And I thought that Cody Rhodes brought up a really good point on the media call, in which you guys can see on youtube.com/Fightful. He goes, yes, Shaq is older. Shaq is a big fellow, but people forget he was one of the greatest NBA centers of all time. He is an athletic guy, contrary to the jokes made on Inside the NBA. Alex, you're a big NBA guy, as am I. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about Shaq's performance?
I was stunned. Like, I thought he was going to lumber around and not do anything. You know, like, I thought he was going to, like, come in, like, hit a couple of, like, double axe handle blows to the back of Cody Rhodes and tag out, and Jade Cargill was going to do most of the work. Now, she did a lot of the work, but he was throwing out, he was doing moves. Like, he had moves, and he took a crazy table bump that was completely unnecessary. He said, no, I'm doing it. He said, no.
By the way, guys, only one reckless speculation per super chat. Do not game the system. Do not game the system. it does not work like that. Rafael Garcia says, after what Candace Parker did to Shaq last night, she might be coming for him next. I was so thrilled with this. Robert, it's pretty evident. Red Velvet and Jade Cargill, they need some work. There's a little rough around the edges, but then you see spots like that spine buster from Jade Cargill, and you're like, oh, that's what they saw in her. That's why they didn't just look at her and how she was built and say, oh, she can do this. No, there's some things she can really, really do. There was a lot of hope here, and there were some great spots. That table spot was insanity.
That table spot was insane. So I had messaged you guys, and I had said, Jade's actually really good, and she's getting a table as I'm saying this, and I'm like, oh, this is going to go sideways real quick. Jade is much better than Red Velvet. I am sorry. It is, from where I sit, it's a fact. Jade was so crisp with this. I did not expect her to actually be as good in the ring as she was. Red Velvet, who I just learned today via Cody Rhodes, is not signed to the company, although she is number one ranked in their ranking system. That's fantastic. she just doesn't seem like she is all that polished. Now, we know this wasn't her spot, but this was a Brandy spot, and I'm like, for Brandy to be the bar,
all that polished.
Yeah, for Brandy to be the bar, ain't that good, you know?
However, I will say, when Brandy had that match with Anna Jay, we were all like, okay, damn. And she led that match too. So there are spots where she was very good. Red Velvet's been wrestling for, I think like 5 years now.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Sometimes some people get better within 10 years. You know, it's not always
true.
A sprint to the top, but Jade was so good. Jade with the right manager can go very far because she obviously needs promo work, but in the ring, I think she is like, if this was the Attitude Era, she'd be way, way up there kind of thing, because she's got the look and she can go. Now, Shaq has been waiting since 1994 to do this, and it showed. He turned Cody's chest into raw hamburger meat with those chops. He took a table bump. He disappeared from an ambulance very quickly. He had some of that Bray Wyatt in him. He just disappeared, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was the Hall of Fame talent that the company's actually signed on for a few more matches.
It's amazing that with Shaq's level of fame, that nobody ever made it work out before this, except for that Battle Royal. And I love the Battle Royal spot too. Mm-hmm. I love that. I thought that was a very cool thing for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal to have Shaq in here. He did really good. The back body drop was great. The chops were good. The Brody Lee tribute. My God. Like that melted the hearts of so many people. And it was just a good power bomb. It was a good power bomb. We've got a ton of super chats about this. Valab says, wait, it makes sense. Shaq is Kazam. That's how he disappeared from the ambulance. And Evan Wright brings up the Brody Lee tribute. That was really awesome. And it shows that he was kind of in tune with things as well. Chris Rain says he was impressed by Shaq. He over-delivered. Would you guys say that you didn't expect Shaq to be this good?
No. Like I remember his last years as an NBA player. He didn't move as lithely as this. Like he's gotten better with age since he played for the Celtics in his last year. I thought it was really funny that viral video that went around, Dwayne Wade videoing Shaq sleeping with that weird hyperbaric chamber helmet he was wearing. He wasn't taking a nap, we know now. He wasn't taking a nap. He was just practicing for after the big table bump, acting as though he was asleep. I thought that was very good. It shows that Shaq is willing to put in the work, the rehearsal.
So guys, in between each one of these matches, we're going to recklessly speculate on one of the super chats that come up. And for those of you who don't know, Paul White showed up and he said he's got a scoop and a Hall of Fame caliber talent is going to be signed by AEW. Now, we're not there yet. We're not there yet because we got a lot of super chats about the opening match. Jade reminds Ryan B. Jam of Camille from NWA. That's a pretty good comparison too. Camille will be a part of that revamped NWA as well. And Evan Wright says, I need Shaq on Inside the NBA tomorrow in a neck brace. Jade delivered big time. Red Velvet rules. Cody is master class. What a go home show. I thought Cody was integral to this match. Cody was what held it all together because it was a little rough around the edges with Jade and Red Velvet. But you know what? For the amount of matches that each one of them have had, unbelievable work from them. So, and that keeps happening in wrestling over the last year specifically. A lot of inexperienced people having really good matches. We got Chris Greenlee saying, I haven't seen Shaq like that since his Shaq Fu days. Let me tell you, I own Shaq Fu. This ran a lot smoother than that game did. That game was dog shit. Matthew McFadden says, Jade Cargill is a star. Her entrance was amazing. Music choice is perfect. She's got China vibes. That's how it came off to me too, Robert. She had that look and build about her.
Imagine if Sable wanted to work. Like, that's what I was going for here. Like, that's the vibe I got.
And Ryan, actually, that's for a different spot. Anakin says, Shaq probably asked Ray about those stem cells. I'm sure Shaq's probably got some of those by now. I mean, my God. It's unreal what that's done for people's careers. But lots of people were interested in Shaq, and they kicked off the show with it. Did that surprise you, Alex?
Well, you know, it's an AEW go-home show. They got to find a way to work in a giant brawl to close it. So that didn't feel like that was the main event spot of this particular night. I thought opening the night with it was really smart. People like tune in to both. You turn into both shows if you're going to watch both of them. Yeah. And you see what's each show kicking it off with. And oh my God, AEW starting with the Shaq Cody match. And when you watch, like, I'll tune in to see if Shaq's any good. Oh wow, he's actually doing stuff. I'm not leaving this. So you got to figure the first quarter hour absolutely went to AEW. I'm sure it usually does, but I mean, like, that's a huge draw. Like, keep people sticking around and watching the rest of your show.
First reckless speculation for the signing. Adam Darwin says it's gonna be Brock, in my opinion. I mean, he wasn't signed as of last year. That would be a Hall of Fame caliber signing, but it's also one of those signings, Robert, that I think they would probably just promote. They would say Brock's going to be on the pay-per-view.
So Brock Lesnar is the first name that shot into my brain, because if you're going to make an impact, you sign Brock Lesnar. But when you say that Paul White is going to make the announcement himself, Brock Lesnar becomes less likely, even though he might be Brock's greatest opponent from his first run. Yeah. I don't think I want to see Brock Lesnar's introduction to AEW, should there be one, just him throwing around Paul White.
Guys, please leave us a thumbs up on this video. It helps an awful lot. You can retweet it over on my Twitter account. Get the word out. Help us spread the word. Pac and Ray Phoenix beat the living shit out of John Skyler and D3. And Robert, sometimes you need a 2-minute ass-whipping match where people do their cool moves and get the hell out of there.
Son of a bitch, this is how you do a squash match.
Yes!
This was so good. This was so good, and to the point where I didn't even know D3 was his name because John Skyler got his ass kicked.
Oh, man. Was his name. He's gone now. This was awesome. There's really not a lot I can add to this, but no. Alex, this is perfect.
I was watching this going like, holy crap. I really want to see Pac and Phoenix as tag champs. Can we get like at least a feud with the Bucks? Like, I mean, like the Lucha Bros, they have their own thing. Like, that's a different thing. Pac is a completely different animal than Pentagon. Like, him just super angry. I want to have a feud between them and Revival. Like, there's like, put them in the, if you're not actually going to put either of them at the top of the singles divisions, put them together in a tag team and actually like push them as a top contender to the tag titles and against the other top tag teams around, because that could be a lot of fun, man.
Zach Amon says, is it someone box office Rock? And as I said, only one per super chat. So no, it ain't the Rock. I get the feeling.
Dwayne Johnson, but he was mentioned tonight.
I get the feeling NBC would have a little bit of a problem with that. NBC, who broadcasts Young Rock on their, they would be like, you couldn't have done this on one of our networks.
They're probably pissed they couldn't revitalize the Big Show show, let alone Young Rock.
Yes. Ricardo Holt says, couple of dollars to say, have a great stream. Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. Devin Wright says, Alex, appreciation super chat. He rules, and so does his show. And Boris says, this episode of Dynamite was fantastic. Not sure if the best technically, but it was so much fun. And Tully was great. let's go ahead and talk about this. So, and you know what? I think it's probably the appropriate time to read the super chat that says, rest in peace, Jim Crockett. Unfortunately, we lost Jim Crockett, head of Jim Crockett Promotions, which became WCW. And boy, was his influence felt on tonight's show with Tony Schiavone and Sting and Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon and just this 6-man match. This was a Jim Crockett Promotions match. It had the shenanigans, which I'm not keen on. I don't like the shenanigans, all that stuff. But you know what? If you're getting Tully Blanchard in a match and you got J.J. Dillon at ringside, you're going to get some shenanigans. So as long as this isn't like what the whole company leans on, I'm okay with it. I'm completely fine with it. Tully was very excited to be in there. The match matching him up with Marco was really great. J.J. Dillon does not age, or at least aged all before he turned 30 and then just stopped. I did a show with him 5 years ago, and I looked at him and I was like, how does he look younger now? Robert, I thought this was good. And Luchasaurus, uber protected, but he got pinned by Tully.
This was my favorite thing on the show. This might be my favorite thing all year. This one will be hard to beat. Tully Blanchard came down wearing his signature robe. And then all of a sudden they go, oh, JJ's here. And not only that, but he's wearing the National Heavyweight Championship, the 10 pounds of silver, and FTR has the NWA Tag Team Championship with them as well. That was good enough. I was sold there. Then Tully hits a slingshot suplex on Marco Stunt like it's 1987. Then that doesn't get the job done. JJ hands a shoe to Dax Harwood. That doesn't get the job done. Out comes Sean Spears dressed like a cameraman. Helps Tully get the win. He's got blonde hair. He can easily fit as the Barry Windham of the Four Horsemen. And then they flash the four fingers, and out comes Arn to flash the four fingers back. Just turn Cody heel. We can skip through whatever happens on Sunday. Turn Cody heel. Put Cody with these men. This is what I'm here for, and this was perfect.
I gotta say, it was not a rare comment on my tweet when I said, hey, as long as the smoke and mirrors isn't a regular thing across the show, it's fine. And I had about a billion different, well, the younger guy went over. Luchasaurus is millions of years old, so of course. And I was like, okay, good one. It was a good one. I did pop for it. But you know what? R.I.P. JCP and Jim Crockett. I mean, hard for me to be upset about this. And the joy that you see on FTR's face. Because here's the thing. I don't know how many people I heard say, they're ungrateful. They got so many title runs. How many title runs did they get before they asked for their release? And did they ask for title runs? Well, let me tell you, I've talked to the guys. Don't think it's a secret. Been on camera with them multiple times. And they straight up said, that wasn't the point. Tag team wrestling being important was the point. Also, the boots were slick. Yeah. Give me a... I want to buy a pair of boots to walk around town with my initials and some red stars on them. Alex, I know you got some in your wardrobe.
Oh, absolutely. They're a little small for me now, but yes, absolutely. When I was younger, I thought this was great. This is everything that you can tell, like FTR, those guys. This is like them with their childhood heroes. Like, it's just so cool to like see that they can do this, and the Arn coming out just to flash the four, give a knowing grin, and slink back because he knows he's not actually part of this act, but he just wanted to be part. This was great. I thought it was all wonderful. I don't mind so much Luchasaurus taking the pin from Tully, because it's kind of an honor to get pinned by Tully Blanchard in his first match back in like 30 years. But I thought, like, you know, the Sean Spears coming back, it's been long enough that I kind of forgot about him. So him coming back with like a brand new look and everything to help out Tully, and by then basically throw in his lot formally with FTR, they are three horsemen in search of a leader. Like, get him. It's got to be Cody, but like, get him one. Get him that guy who's like is the guy who like anchors the whole thing together, and just watch him soar, man.
I just want to point this out. Conrad Thompson, who was on this show, owns the trademark for the Four Horsemen. They can run with this. They need to run with it. This was just great, and it was highlighted by J.J. Dillon looking at Tony Schiavone and saying, whatever you got next, it ain't going to be better than what you just saw. And Tony shot right back at him, you don't get paid extra for that, bud. All this is so good.
Chris Reigns, the slingshot suplex by Tully popped him. I agree. Taxel says Death Triangle for first trios champs. They got a lot of options, and that's the good thing. They've got a lot of options. And Samuel Guloy says, we really need a trios title and have Death Triangle run wild. I think once they launch that show later this year, which is coming, I think that's probably when we'll see them. Nerd Guru thinks that AEW outdraws Raw tomorrow, deservingly so. I don't. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility by the end of 2021 that it doesn't. I won't say they pass them, but it gets like within a few hundred thousand and we go, oh, damn, look at that. Zach Amon said, yeah, but Rock can say he was on Ballers on HBO. What have you done for me lately? HBO ain't paying him right now, my man. I appreciate the super chat, but NBC's paying him right now to do this. Oh, good reckless speculation. It's going to be Cain Velasquez. It's got to be Cain.
Oh, Lord almighty.
I just want to let you guys know he ain't as good as you all think he is.
No, it's not. But he did say Hall of Fame worthy. He didn't say which Hall of Fame.
Well, PM Punk says, what if it's Mick Foley as a guest for the death match? Well, that's not really a signing. I mean, it could be for broadcasting. They want to sign 400 announcers. Go for it. He's a good one.
It would be an amazing touch for Mick to be the special guest ref. That would be a huge thing. It'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, Rob Hookin says, I want it to be George Mizanin, but it's Pat McAfee. I don't think it's Pat McAfee either. I don't think so either. Super sick Bud Ryan says Kurt Angle.
All right.
That's a pretty realistic one, Robert.
So I didn't think about that until I had seen some of these super chats. That's the one I'm going to go with. I think it's Kurt Angle. I think he's got a lot to offer wrestling in general. He was Cody's first name on that list many, many moons ago. If he does have one more in him, because Baron Corbin shouldn't be the last one. It just shouldn't be. It should be an AEW.
Yes, I agree. I think
Kurt Angle could be the guy.
Yeah, like what I desperately don't want for the promotion and for Big Show is for his thing, like, I got a scoop. It's going to be a huge deal. Get it, tune in and watch. I don't want it to overpromise and underdeliver. It's got to be somebody on that level of Kurt Angle or something like way out of left field that we never would have considered. It's got to be at least something on that level or a huge surprise.
And let's be real. We've seen the type of shape that he's in of late.
Yeah.
Nerd Guru has a good one. Daniel Cormier. Not you could do a lot worse, whether it be broadcasting or whatever. But Ryan Martin, but yeah, I think that's a solid, like, outside the box one. Ryan Martin says Paul White himself.
I'll pop.
It'd be such a shitty. It'd be him turning immediately. It would be such a funny thing. You all didn't see this coming. JL says a Rhodes can never be a part of the Four Horsemen. That's wrestling blasphemy.
And that's exactly why it needs to fucking happen.
Yeah, that's the story. Good.
That's the story, man.
The Nightmare family being upset about this. That's the story.
Yep.
Ben Isaac says Christian Cage. And Evan Wright also says reckless speculation is Christian to hurt Sean. Okay. Has WWE mentioned Christian on the air one time since the week after he left? Since he's been on the bump, have they mentioned him once?
Nope.
I don't usually do the bash WWE thing. If those idiots let Christian go right after letting him return and having Edge win the Rumble, when you can easily do Edge and Christian against Roman and Jey Uso at Fastlane, I would laugh because this would be the biggest blunder that this company could possibly do.
I mean, why? And here's my thing. On SmackDown, why would Edge have not said, why would I want to team with Daniel Bryan? Why can't you team me with my brother Christian to face these guys at Fastlane, which was scheduled? And here's the reality of the situation. What happened when Edge hit that first spear? AEW rang the man up.
Yep.
And he said, you know what? Maybe I'll entertain this offer. It's happened before.
If they let Christian go, they have made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
But I think it's very possible that AEW is offering, would be offering Christian way more than Vince thinks he's worth. And would like, it's very possible. Like, well, no, I'm not going to, we're not going to pay that much money. Go have fun. Like that's very possible.
We are way behind on AEW, but it's a noteworthy week.
Yeah.
Anakin says, have Angle come out to see there's cover of his theme that was cut from Forcible Entry. I haven't heard that. And I want to.
I have not heard that actually.
I haven't either. And I love that album. Evan Wright says Cody turns on Dustin to join the Horsemen. That's the easy thing, right? I mean, yeah,
break
Dustin,
his arm, break his arm, do the, go to the whole nine door.
and Dustin, Jared. And Dustin just still believes there's some hope in his baby brother. Mm-hmm. He just still believes it. Jay Blood says Cody being the head of the Horsemen is set sacrilege to the Rhodes Common Man legacy. It's nuclear. Well, here's the thing. Cody Rhodes says it himself. Anytime you'll listen, he is not a common man. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth because of his father doing what he did. And I love that. I love that he doesn't sit there and say, oh, I'm just like all of, I'm like all of you. He grew up backstage in WCW. Yep. He was hanging out with Ron Simmons and Lex Luger in his free time. He's Ken Griffey Jr. hanging out in the dugout. Like,
what number signing was Cody to this company again?
Yes, exactly. Nerd Guru says, after being there for Kurt's last match, I can say with full confidence he deserves way better. And how did they not do him versus Cena is insanity. It is, but we also have a lot of other stuff to get into. We're half an hour in. MJF, Chris Jericho, they do the press conference, which has my boy, Robbie Fox, love Robbie Fox, but it also had Conrad Thompson, who we got a super chat from Ryan B. Jam saying, hey, hey, it's Turkey Tits. This was a fan-freaking-tastic go-home show. Conrad and MJF's back and forth is something that I just love to see. James Rourke, if you think we missed your super chat, go ahead and send it again, buddy, but we've got a bunch saved up here. No, we did not. As I said, in between each match, we're going over one. But we saw Eric Bischoff pop up there. This was like, all right. But then the Young Bucks come out, and I thought Denise had a pretty appropriate Twitter post. She's like, I'd be throwing hands if somebody did that to my dad. But Young Bucks, I thought, cut a good promo. I thought the line, the PC line, what would you be doing? Jerking the curtain at the Performance Center tonight. I thought that was, one, unnecessary. Not because I don't like stuff like that. I love shit like that. Give me those clickety-clacks, please. Thank you. But how does that make Jericho... okay, he'd be, what, for an opening match on NXT tonight? I think we know that's not true.
Yeah.
Two, it makes him look like shit. Other than that, I thought this segment was great. The Good Brothers and Brandon Cutler helping them. I love that because people were like, oh, well, don't they not get along with Good Brothers? Friends fight. It happens. And this is a way for the Good Brothers to get in the goodwill of the Young Bucks, Robert. And Brandon Cutler being out there, nice touch too, I thought.
Yeah, this was better than last week's. I still have a hard time taking anything the Young Bucks say seriously because they're so just rooted in bits. I think they should have come out and just started trying to fight. The Performance Center line is what it is. They could have said anything better, even if it was just you'd be in some lame comedy segment on Monday nights. It would have been more accurate. The line about MJF waiting for a callback from Rosie O'Donnell in 2021 felt a little off, but again, they're just going with what they know. They always got to dive before a pay-per-view, and they did it, so that's cool. And I think the best line goes to MJF, who said, not slick, I wish my hair was much more thick, Nick. And I just, that popped me, because Nick Jackson does not have as full of a head of hair as his brother.
Yes, I thought this was pretty good, and I'm excited for the tag match on Sunday. Very excited for that. James O'Rourke says, wild theory, but what if they sign Cena? He's done a couple of WB movies, and he has a show starting on TBS soon.
All right, let's just support that wild theory, that wacky theory. He has said no to WrestleMania, and he will be doing Wipeout on TBS. I think this clearly states that he will be the host of the fourth show on TNT, which will be called You Can't See This. And that's just where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, that is not going to happen in any way, shape, or form. He did the commercials for WWE for WrestleMania. He is still very much there. He, from what I understand, still has a deal. So it will not be him at all. Keep on sending in those reckless speculations. I'm digging them. Somebody says RVD. Well, WWE's working on a documentary for him as we speak. So that would be kind of shitty if yeah. he did that.
And I don't know what could RVD bring to the table. And again, this is Big Show introducing this person. Yeah. I think that's the element that everybody's forgetting.
Ryu Mizunami defeated Nyla Rose. Initially, it was very hard for me to get into this because of how badly they book. I mean, Britt Baker should be winning this tournament. Britt Baker should be winning the title on Sunday. That's where we all are. That's kind of where we are on that. But by the end of this, it was pretty good. There were some spots where I was like, "Man, that's wonky." They have eliminated the 9:30 women's match, which I am really happy about. But Robert, I thought this was a good tournament finals.
This tournament was great for the division in terms of in-ring competition. The wrong woman won. That's just my personal opinion. I think it should have been Britt Baker. However, when you've presented me this final, I think the right woman won because we've seen Nyla and Sheeta, and now we know that there's a little bit of a history here, and they traded respectful forearms to the face right after shaking each other's hand.
As is Japanese tradition.
I mean, Sheeta laid that one in, too. Oh, my God. And Evan Wright said, need white suit Sheeta on a weekly basis, please. She looks like the character you'd pick in Tekken.
Yes.
Like she looked like she hopped right out of a video game. Nikolai Kreese is wildly speculating here, but what about Masvidal? He was in attendance tonight. Yes, he was. I didn't know that was out there, but yes, he was in attendance tonight. I think he's barely Hall of Fame caliber in the UFC, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I've covered his career, but yeah, I don't think he's Hall of Fame caliber. And that'd be just such a like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to sign him thing.
Yeah.
Ryan Martin says, what if it's a female talent? Everyone's saying a male. Just saying Zelina's non-compete ran out and Nurgruz is not Hall of Fame worthy, but Thea Trinidad. That would be such an oversell. Yeah. All due respect to her. But that ain't Hall of Fame level.
I hope they do sign her. I think she's got an amazing amount that she can bring to, like, Thea Trinidad, speaking for one of these Japanese women that they're pushing to the top of the division would be a really good way of getting past that language barrier. And she can also work in the ring, but she's not in this position that Big Show brought up.
And I think that, quite frankly, I think she'd be a better manager for Nyla Rose than than Vicky.
Either way, yeah.
I think that would be really good. George Amin says, what about Brock? And then we get AJ Mamba saying, Brock, his deal was up last year. I mean, why would they not at least make an offer?
Yeah. Oh, they have to make an offer. Vince, like when I was saying, like Vince wouldn't match on Christian, Vince is matching on Brock. Like whatever AEW is willing to pay, Vince would definitely match.
Put it like this.
They have peak money, pal.
Like the term dead man talking got registered as a trademark, and Vince McMahon said, no more wrestling matches, but here's a 15-year contract, Undertaker. The idea of Undertaker doing a podcast with Conrad Thompson. Come on. He's going after me. He loves Brock. He was so hurt by Brock Lesnar leaving that besides Cena and Batista, where the wheels were already in motion for them to be top guys, nobody got it that quick and that easy again. And nobody got it as quick and easy as Brock to begin with. It took Cena and Batista 3 years each to get to the top. It took Brock 6 months. Mm-hmm. That ain't happened. Like that's just, it changed the way that Vince McMahon did business because he got so hurt by what Brock did. Zach Heyman says, is Batista available or living in Florida? I don't know where he's living now, but I know one thing. He's an honest to God actor now. like not just, oh, I'm going to do Kickboxer Vengeance or something. Like, he's got real movies. But at the same time, I could, you know what? I mean, we've seen crazier things happen, and it depends on how much he weighs his legacy and all that and what he can do in AEW and all that good stuff. I wouldn't rule it out. Nerd Guru says Batista wouldn't shock me. Sorry, Robert, go ahead.
It's Batista. He complained and moaned and groaned and turned it into a meme that he wanted Triple H to finish his career. He got it. I doubt it. I wouldn't rule it out, but I doubt it. It's definitely not John Cena, though. I think we can all say
that. Yeah, it's not John Cena. Max Caster defeated Dark Order's 10 when Jack Evans hits 10 with a case. This match went quite a bit longer than I think it needed to be. This one didn't need to be that long, but I'll say this. I'm glad that they added stakes to it. I'm glad that it had something. He's going to move on to the ladder match. Big week for Bobby Lashley's family. His sister has moved on to the AEW Revolution ladder match. For those of you who don't know, Max Caster is Bobby Lashley's sister.
It's a huge week for the Lashley family. This was fine. I thought it went on way too long. It plays into the Matt Hardy thing. Jack Evans earns an extra $4,200 just for doing this.
I mean, yeah, this was okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Sting comes is not winning on Sunday. So that's like, congratulations. Yeah. You're in a match with Cody. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. Hey guys, so there's some more reckless speculation. We got a super chat that said, no more BS. Paul with the Fightful level exclusive. Any thoughts on who he means, fellas? We're not going to recklessly speculate unless we're paying to. In my heart of hearts, I'm like, well, it would make an awful lot of sense if it were Christian. And that would be the jab at Vince McMahon, is that he is a Hall of Fame caliber talent. Why the fuck didn't you put him in there? Mm-hmm. Type of thing.
Yeah,
Anakin
that's
says,
also a jab at you. You've been trying to push for this IC title match. What are you doing, pal?
I want it. I want to see Christian versus Big E very, very badly. I do. I would love to see that over an AEW run.
Obviously, but, like, Big E wants it too.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he used the very screenshot that I sent him in a direct message to promote it.
Yes.
He said, hot damn, didn't realize that. That's a cool story. Evan Wright says, the Lady Gaga Dog Walker line was wild. I like that. Here's the thing. Anytime somebody raps on wrestling, you're going to have a whole subsection of people go, that was lame, no matter what. I like the Dog Walker line. I thought it was good. Isn't Batista getting inducted into the Hall of Fame this year? This year, next year, when's the next Olympics? Who knows? Mikey T says, after a horrible day at work as a plumber in Memphis, seeing Cody smash Shaq through those tables is the highlight of my day. Shaq looked awesome. If Shaq can't get the Nestle Crunch sponsorship back and them use like something like that, like the sound effect, oh man, I loved it. I thought it was really good. PM Punk says, thanks for reminding me about Lashley's sisters. I was there live in Albany for that. Same arena as the 92 Rumble. Yeah.
And yet Lashley's sisters were far more iconic.
Yes, fair. Yeah. Fair. We saw a vignette for the Exploding Barbed Wire Deathmatch with Onita in it. Mm-hmm. And Josh Cardenas says, good to see him on Dynamite. Wish they had Funk. Well, Dory Funk was at a recent set of tapings. But Robert, this was a cool thing to pop up and have, and apparently he's on their post show too.
For Onita to have put himself through what he put himself through, the man looks fantastic, and he is the perfect person to speak about this kind of match if you cannot get Mick Foley or Terry Funk.
Yes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But The question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Guys, please leave us a thumbs up. It helps an awful lot. Onita getting his recognition, I think, is very cool. Oh my gosh. Sean Garter brought up a good point. Carissa Rivera played last year's wife. She got signed last week.
What a week.
Oh my God.
Goodness.
Orlando says, Mickey James. You know what? If she was a free agent, I would say yes, she is Hall of Fame caliber, without a shadow of a doubt. And would also, Alex, be a fantastic signing for AEW.
Oh, it would be huge for them. Yeah, I mean, she says she can't get used to being called a legend. She still thinks she's got gas in the tank. You know,
she
what
does.
I mean? So there you go. Yeah, absolutely. But like from her own mouth, she's like, I don't want to be just this thing. Like I show up on Legends Night and that's it.
Yes.
Who the hell are we talking to? Tatanka and Sergeant Slaughter? My God, they have a lot in common. Like, come on. Come on.
Denise doesn't remember the Ascension, says, is Cardi B Hall of Fame worthy, though? I mean, in some music Hall of Fame? Yeah, I'm sure she's going to be. She's going to be in some Hall of Fames there. We got the Sting promo with Ricky Starks. Ricky is so good. And Brian Cage comes out, but Darby Allin makes the save. More importantly than for Sting, Ricky Stark's poor shoe was about to get squished by Sting. Yeah. Like he was about to get a power bombed on.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Sting can do this week, Robert.
Sting cut a great Sting promo. Sting lost it on the Scorpion a little bit, but he still looks great. And you're not.
Let's be real. That's not an indicative of his age. He's been doing that for 30 plus years.
For a while. So
when I interviewed Bret Hart and Bret Hart had the nerve to me to say Sting had one of the best ones, I couldn't disrespect Bret Hart like this. But in my mind, I thought, Bret, that's bullshit, my man. Sting sucks.
That Sting had it first. He's just doing the right thing. But this was good. This whole thing has been great, and I hear a lot of people going, oh, I'm over Sting. Sting is another guy. No, he's not, and he never will be. He's Sting, and you will enjoy this match on Sunday because you're a wrestling fan. That's just it.
AJ Mamba says, what if we're thinking about this wrong? It could be Tanahashi. I mean,
he ain't getting introduced by the Big Show, guys. I think you're forgetting that.
That's a good point. George says, I'm going with Big Show rival Floyd Mayweather, the surprise. So here's my feeling. When you say Hall of Fame caliber, you're playing someone up. Mm-hmm. If it's Floyd Mayweather, you're saying Floyd Mayweather's on our pay-per-view this weekend.
Right.
That's what you're doing because he's one of the gods of pay-per-view. That's just how I feel about that. Adam Hangman Page and John Silver defeated Mark Quinn and Matt Hardy. I loved Mark Quinn getting his back worked over, going for a kip up, and then being like, I can't do that. That sucks. It hurts real bad. That was the highlight of the match for me. Also, when John Silver did a brain buster, Jim Ross goes, well, the benefit of that is you ain't got far to fall. I thought that was very funny. And then he went back to the point and it was far less funny. Yep. But I love John Silver. I loved how, like, how affectionate he was to Hangman Page. This is good, Alex.
Those one-sided hugs and Adam Page doing takes to the camera, man, it's great. Like, this, listen, they're slow building this eventual Adam Page is the Lord of the Dark Order thing so well. I can't be mad at it ever.
Well, you know what? You set me up, Alex. If you want to be Lord of the Dong. Oh, what do we got here? Where am I at? Hold on. Come on, man. Come on, man. Let's put me right over here. If you want to be Lord of the Dong and you want to have a higher hit rate than me with this production over here, check out our friends at BlueChew.com. Code Fightful. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Their tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections, so you can get that total package and combat all forms of ED. And you get that confidence. It's an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package made in the USA. They prepare, they ship direct. That makes it way cheaper than a pharmacy. You work with Blue Chew's licensed medical providers to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, no problem there. It's a chewable. It's all done online. The process is so simple. There is a right ingredient. They'll find the right one for you. Get yourself that total package. BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Just pay $5 shipping. Your first shipment is free. That's how much they know you're going to like it. They're willing to give you this for free because they know you're coming back for more. And so will that special someone when you use BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Oh, let's see here. StreamYard's really got to work on this. Here we go. There we go. Adam Page, John Silver win. We get the obligatory brawl. And because AEW hasn't done many of these, Robert, I was okay with it.
It's weird that they let this be the final shot. It's not, mm-hmm. There's no disrespect to the tag team division of All Elite Wrestling. It's not like this is the final thing you need to see going into Sunday. Big pop for Brody Lee Jr., who I thought, so when the Dark Order comes to save Adam Page, I'm thinking, okay, this is it. Brody Lee's going to say, will you lead us? No, they had the child sit there and act like one of the commentators on a Super Nintendo WWF game and just go, oh my God, they're doing moves. It's all these people. Like, I'm sure he loved it because he loves the company, but my God, they had this little child in a mask. Just, oh my God, people are fighting. I just thought that was a great visual, and this was a fun way to end a very fun show.
And the last thing he did was, like, as Matt Hardy was leaving, like, you go! Get out of here! Get out of here, Matt Hardy! And Matt Hardy, like, put his head down and left. That was really great.
Pretty fun show. I'm excited for this Sunday. Reminder, guys, myself and Sam Laterna are making our predictions on Thursday at noon on Fightful. Make sure you guys tune in and check it out. But we do have NXT. But first, let's see Matthew saying, The Undertaker shows up in disguise going by the name The Overgiver. Vince won't suspect a thing. I know you're joking, but he's still got that 15-year contract. And Anakin says $2 for Alex and his dancing. Hey, some people work way harder for that tip. NXT kicked off And it kicked off with Ciampa and Gargano against the Kings of NXT, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch defeat Ciampa and Thatcher. As good as this match was, and as much as I like both teams, tough battle to go up against Shaq.
Yeah. No, it's not really fair to these guys. I mean, this is a lot of fun. Like I love watching Ciampa and Thatcher together. I just love just so smash mouth. It's perfect for them to go up against Lorcan and Burch. I loved the first shot of Ciampa approaching Gorilla and like picking up Thatcher on his way there. And Thatcher was just talking to Marcel Bartel. Of course, Thatcher has a history with Imperium from before his days in NXT. And I love that that's a thing they're going with now. All these things of like Imperium trying to get to be a bigger faction, like later in the night, if you blinked, you missed it. It was Alexander Wolf talking to Killian Dane way in the background at another walking shot. I love that they're doing this little very subtle of Imperium trying to become like this mega faction of all these guys who used to have history with people in their membership. I think it's great.
I really like that approach. Later on, we see Ciampa and Thatcher not happy, but you know what? I like them as a team because after the classic last year, the tag team division was in disarray. They could not have planned for that. Like over half their roster was stuck.
Right.
Couldn't have helped it. But I thought this was a good approach. By the way, guys, we can still recklessly speculate on AEW. Ian the Weird says Alistair Overeem and Junior Dos Santos. 0.1% chance.
Yeah.
0.1% chance there. The Nerd Guru says NXT picked a terrible night to not be as good as it should be. The tag team title match finish had Vince written all over it. I want to go ahead and talk about that because I did not like that shit whatsoever. Nope. This had everything that I thought Monday was going to have. This was what I thought like the Lashley thing was going to be, and mm-hmm. we were going to stretch it out. Instead, we got this one stretched out. It is pretty indicative to me of WWE's really, really bad job of booking babyfaces that the two big title matches they had this week featured heels, just heels that win as their babyfaces, because they can't book babyfaces because what do? They have Damian Priest turn babyface, and he gets the air let out of his tires and his car stolen. And mm-hmm. he's sitting in chin locks for a minute and a guy half his size on Raw. Or they have Drew come out. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, okay, buddy. Like all that shit. You got Rhea Ripley out there just doing not what Rhea Ripley got over by kicking people's asses. And then when you become champion, she just stopped wrestling. Just stopped wrestling. Okay. Well, here you had Dakota Kai appropriately playing babyface because, one, she's a great babyface, but compared to Nia and Shayna, she is a babyface. And within the context of this program specifically and the person across the ring from her and Shayna Baszler, you gotta have Dakota play the babyface. Yeah. And she rocked it. She was awesome. She held this match together. She was great. That fucking finish. Oh, Rafael Garcia said that finish killed all momentum of the show. So here's what happens. Dakota Kai, I don't even think she actually made the tag. I think they missed it, but I could be wrong. I'll go back and watch. Raquel tags in. There's a ref bump. And then Adam Pearce rolls out. And obviously you're like, what is Adam Pearce doing here? What's he doing here at the Capitol Wrestling Center? Scrap Iron. Well, he's got a ref. He's got Sean Bennett with him. And he calls Dakota Kai out. Well, Dakota Kai was out, but she was not the legal woman. Now, there's going to be a whole lot of people, you know those people. Oh, it's just a good bit. You're getting worked, man. No, I get it. I see what they did. I just thought it was shitty. Mm-hmm. And when it went up at 9 p.m., Alex, I had the feeling something was going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's bad. The whole thing is that Adam Pearce comes out and he sends the ref down there, and the ref who wasn't paying attention. Like, I feel like if you're gonna have a convention where there are just refs milling about in the back, like have it as like you've got a backup ref who stands in gorilla watching a monitor. And if one ref goes down, that's the ref who goes down there. That's your convention. Do that as opposed to like Adam Pearce, like, come on, dude in a striped shirt who hasn't been watching this match and has no context for what's going on. Go down there and make a decision. That's ridiculous. People were saying on Twitter, oh no, see, he's trying to keep the belts on Raw. The belts float, dude.
Yes.
The belts are supposed to be defended in NXT all the time.
It's like
they're not is the problem.
Yeah, and then, like I see that you guys see that, but he can just book them on Raw and SmackDown. In the words of the late great man, that's the beauty of it. Oh
yeah. So the Regal says later he's going to make some announcement that's going to change the very fiber of NXT. And if he's, I mean, I don't know what it is that he's announcing. How something having to do with the women's tag titles could change the fiber. Is it that Raquel and Dakota are going to get a rematch at Fastlane? Because I don't know how that they could.
Or, if they stretch it all the way out to...
No, you're not allowed. Sorry. I'm not allowing it. No.
I don't even like it to be
stretched out
to Fastlane.
Me neither. Like, the other thing is that when they had Naomi get squashed by Nia on Monday, I was like, they're prolonging that Naomi and Lana story specifically with Shayna and Nia, which means Dakota and Raquel are not winning the championships on Wednesday. That's not how they operate. They don't like that's not a swerve ski they're going to pull on it. So there's still more Naomi and Lana stuff. We could be getting a triple threat at Fastlane, which would protect Nia and Shayna if Raquel were to pin Lana. Like that's a kind of thing they could do to make sure we don't ruin our top heels in the women's division.
Josh says that women's tag finish made me turn off NXT. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to blame you, man. It was very frustrating. Ryan, and that's usually a word that I save for the Monday podcast. Very frustrating. Ryan says, what are your thoughts on the finish? Personally, I wasn't a fan at all. That's the kind of booking we see on Raw and not NXT. Well, you know what? That's the reason they lost this.
Yeah.
That's the reason they're moving to Tuesdays.
Yep. Yeah.
Instead of AEW struggling to hold on to whatever they have. That's why they're moving and not the other way around. And you can say NHL, you can say whatever. Well, here's the thing. If they were kicking AEW's ass, wouldn't be in that situation.
There's nothing more depressing for me in covering wrestling and WWE than the existence now of Wednesday Night Raw. Because NXT, my God, at this point, it's years ago, but there was nothing better. Wednesday night NXT at that time, the 2014 to 2017, it was as hot as anything.
I used to look for, I used to, because I mean, I didn't watch it as it happened when Fightful started full plate. I used to look forward to binge watching like 6, 7, 8 hours of NXT in a row. Yeah. I would plan a day before TakeOver and I was like, all right, we're catching up on all this. And I'd be glued. I wouldn't get anything else done that day. Rafael Garcia says Pierce versus Regal in the fight pit. Give me what I want. I'm tired of them teasing me with Adam Pierce wrestling. Like, I want to see Adam Pierce do some wrestling to the point to where I know they're booking Braun and Shane. I want it to be Braun against Shane and Pierce because I think that would be good, honestly. I think it'd be really good.
So I didn't see any of this, and I was very confused to learn that Adam Pierce is now a heel on Wednesday night. So on Fridays, he's a man's man who will fight Paul Heyman because he does what he has to do. On Mondays,
did he get heat or did he get buzz, Robert?
Right now, it appears he got heat. I don't get it. On Monday, he can't kick out of a small package. Now on Wednesday, he's a heel who's trying to preserve the belts that are his anyway.
Well, let me just tell you, anybody can kick out of their small package when you use BlueChew.com code Fightful.
That's no BS. You're getting a big show.
Oh my God. We're telling people how to give out their great whites here for sure. For sure. Oh my God. Nerd Guru says with the writing on the wall that NXT is moving and losing the war, I can only guess that Vince is punishing Hunter for it. if tonight is any indication. And Anakin says, really keeping the tag titles on Nia and Shayna, huh? Well, it's very obvious that NXT is erecting, there you go, a tag team division among the women. Now, unfortunately for them, Casey's out. We saw Kayden challenge Xia Li next week, so there you go. But there's teams there, and they're willing to book them. If this is some stupid petty shit with Vince, it's just yet another indication of 75-year-old man needs to step away, I would say.
And I don't think that Vince isn't one to cut his nose despite his face, especially now with his own son-in-law. He's usually good to the son-in-law.
Son-in-law got his duties demoted last year, too. Yeah. So, Anakin says, Stevie Richards and Paul turns on him for taking his no mercy spot.
I hope that this is a thing so that we can write it up for Fightful Gaming. Go to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming.
What am I missing there?
So in No Mercy, so like this is the origin of the Stevie Richards meme, which is where people replace Chris Benoit with Stevie Richards. In No Mercy, because it came out when Big Show was being punished for gaining too much weight, all of the Big Show lines in No Mercy were just replaced with Steven Richards.
Such a fantastic replacement. I love it. WWE Mark says, Christian. I mean, that's one of the leaders for me. Christian, Kurt Angle are up there for me. Also, Kenshiro says, wait, Regal didn't book a main event even though there was a title match on the card? That's the thing. When I saw this going up at 9, I said, we're getting a screwy finish. Something crappy's going to happen here. And that's unfortunate. Guys, get in your super chats. We are heading down the home stretch of this show. And Colt Badeau wraps up our women's tag title stuff with saying, why is this storyline with Kai and Raquel? Can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Braun. Pierce is getting in the way. Why can't we keep it simple? And that's the thing. Pierce has been such a great, great authority figure. And this was just like, meh, okay. Yeah, MC Carp, go ahead. Sorry.
Unnecessary to have him be a part of it. A second ref can just run down and make the call wrong. That happens all the time. Having Pierce be involved in it makes Pierce a big part of the story that he doesn't need to be at this point.
Guys, we have hundreds of you watching this show, but only 150 likes. Let's go ahead and get those thumbs up, please. It really helps us spread the word. MC Carvalho said the announcement will be women get their own tag titles. It shouldn't be. They shouldn't.
No.
One's good enough for all of them. I mean, I think that would work just fine.
How many NXT title defensive have there been in what, 2 years? Because I can remember two. Like it's, I mean, this, I think tonight was the third. Like, honestly, I don't remember how many times the NXT women have challenged for the belts and they've been around for years now. So
yeah,
they're not doing the thing they said they were going to do.
Nerd Guru says, I think it makes all the sense for it to be Paige. I do too. But here's the thing. WWE, especially their digital, is super petty. And as soon as they know somebody isn't with them, they will scoop the other company by moving them to alumni. And right now, Paige is still listed as a SmackDown superstar. They do it every time. It got to the point where people would send me tips, guys, and they'd be like, hey, this person got moved to alumni. And I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. But every time it did mean something. It absolutely did. Evan Wright says, with God not booked on this New Japan tour, do you see them showing up at Revolution? Obviously, it means G-O-D. I think it would create some nice buzz. It would create some nice buzz because Tama Tonga has done as much work as anybody building the hype and the intrigue around this AEW New Japan Impact Bullet Club fiasco. I think it would be some really, really great buzz. And I think Bucks versus Good Brothers versus G-O-D would be great. Also, I kind of think Bullet Club versus Dark Order led by Hangman Page would be really, really great too. Matt Black says, why not? Let's speculate about CM Punk. Another name, Robert, that I think they would say, oh, CM Punk's going to be on our pay-per-view. You better buy it.
Yeah, and I would save this one. I wouldn't necessarily announce him because I think exploding barbed wire deathmatch and Sting is enough to get pay-per-view buys. But yep. Again, and I know I've repeated this a couple times tonight, but I don't think the Big Show and CM Punk got that much love where it's like, hey, man, welcome to the team.
Rafael Garcia says, we focus on WWE Hall of Fame. What if it's someone from New Japan that is Hall of Fame worthy? I think that's absolutely possible. I do. So it's going to be Iizuka for sure. Brandon Charles Powell says, it's got to be Kane. Kane also still listed as a SmackDown superstar. But as far as New Japan,
he's the sitting mayor of a town in
Tennessee. Yes. But somebody says Booker T and they didn't send a super chat, but Booker T's got a deal through like 2029. But New Japan, I think it's a real possibility. Somebody from New Japan, like maybe Suzuki's popping up or something like that. That would be completely possible. Somebody says Chris Hero. I mean, he's great. I love him. I love his podcast too. It's fantastic. But I don't think that's somebody they would bill like that, if you know what I mean. And somebody says Pat McAfee. I'd be shocked if Cody gave that away. But crazier things have happened.
Well, he was fired on Christmas, don't you know?
Yeah, exactly. Aaliyah lost to Ember Moon. Like, it's not often I can say this on a Wednesday. This match was just bad. It was not good at all. The Cell was really good at the end. They were not on the same page. This was all over the map. This was bad. Alex, any thoughts?
No. It's not the best way you want to keep Ember Moon relevant. Her and Shotzi, though, are a respectable tag team.
Yes.
You could be challenging for those belts from Dakota and Raquel for the next couple of months if Dakota and Raquel became tag team champions tonight. Just saying.
They had no chemistry whatsoever. I do not need to see them in the ring together again. It seemed like they wanted to call it in the ring, and it did not work at all. This one, you don't got to watch this if you missed the show.
Nope.
Anakin says Jushin Thunder Liger, New Japan Hall of Fame. He's retired. He ain't coming back.
He's also in the WWE Hall of Fame, if they ever have one.
Yeah. Yeah. gosh, I forgot about that. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed got beat by Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is backstage, and William Regal said, last week you punched a crew member. And we got to deal with this. And Cameron's like, I'll pay for it. I don't care. Regal's like, no, I'll take care of that. I like that Cameron Grimes does have Kiss My Grits money, but he still respects William Regal. It's like, all right, Mr. Regal, I'm sorry about that. I like that. That says an awful lot. Also, it says a lot about Regal that no matter who Regal talks to, including Adam Pearce, he's got their respect. Because Adam Pearce is like begging off backstage. No, yeah. Sir. Meanwhile, William Regal can't book a goddamn main event on his own show. But Cameron Grimes won because LA Knight, who cut a great delivery promo, but just didn't say a lot.
Right.
He tossed Bronson Reed the match. I know I brought up an awful lot of stuff this week or this spot, Alex, but a lot happened here. Cameron Grimes wins. Bronson Reed loses, but he gets screwed out of it by LA Knight, who came out. Cut a promo. We don't need to see that promo every week, but he's great at delivery.
Yep.
William Regal commands respect. This did a lot of things.
Yes, it did. I was watching Cameron Grimes versus Bronson Reed the whole time thinking this is perfect. Cameron Grimes, this character, doesn't need to win a match for 6 months. He doesn't. He's going to be over as the really rich loser forever until the bottom completely drops out of the stock market, and then he's going to be like the guy with a hobo bindle. Like, it's good. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff.
I got to say, when he goes, I got Kiss My Grits money. And William Regal goes, I do not know what that means. That was really great.
It's great.
He has the best comedic timing.
It's wonderful. And of course, because I said that, Bronson Reed loses to Cameron Grimes. He's starting a feud, though, with LA Knight. And I don't know what LA Knight has against Bronson Reed other than Bronson Reed came out for his scheduled match at the end. That didn't interrupt LA Knight's promo, came out at the end of it, and LA Knight didn't like that. But I don't need to see Bronson Reed in that spot. Bronson Reed should be being pushed. Bronson Reed should be a future North American champion, not in a loser, absolute loser feud versus LA Knight. LA Knight's winning that feud, like his first feud in the company. It's that they pick weird people to be in certain spots.
Evan Wright says, did Reed have a shoulder lizard this week?
He didn't. He hasn't had that. I think he had that once, and then somebody was like, why do you have a shoulder lizard? And he's like, no reason, and never brought it up again.
They got rid of Gex? Well, I like Gex.
I miss Gex. He was fun. He was a fun one. Nerguru says, it's Mephisto. If you know, you know. I don't understand the
rest. It's Agatha Harkness, and that's WandaVision.
Okay. George Amin says the Million Dollar Man will show up on NXT and feud with Grimes. You got to get a Ted DiBiase cameo at some point.
At some point. On a takeover, have him show up. Yeah, it'd be great.
Anakin says, is it someone in a Hall of Fame or someone who should be? I would imagine it's someone who should be. I don't know who it is. So if you guys are, I'm not big showing you guys. I'm not withholding the info. That would be up on FightfulSelect.com right now. We had four stories up there today. Ryan B. Jam says it's going to be one of Buck's best friends, El Generico. It would be kind of funny if they had El Generico in AEW because it'd just be funny. But otherwise, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
We see therapy segments.
This is great.
These were really great. Johnny Gargano was so good as a babyface that I didn't think he was ever going to be a heel. And now he's great as a heel. And he carried these. Yeah. Candace was also very good. Indy was all right. It got redundant, but it was still very funny.
This is Indy wrestling Loomis. Was just,
yes.
That wrestling is her middle name.
There was at one point whenever, like, because it was everything. She would make a comment like, yeah. I'd do this with him. When they talked about Austin Theory getting choked out, I thought she was going to be like, I'd let him choke me. I thought we were getting one of those. And it would have been very, very funny. But how'd you feel about this? They rocked this. And the counselor was great, too.
Yeah, she was great, too. Gargano getting kicked out of the room and then texting interjections to Candace. And then Candace and Indy getting kicked out. I thought it was actually Austin Theory is like saying, so it was really cool. I was in this really small room with boarded up windows and I got to watch cartoons and eat as much cereal as I wanted, which is like, I'm pretty sure the storyline of a famous kids kidnapped movie from the 80s. Like that's what happens to the kid who got kidnapped, which is a weird thing for them to be like, hey, remember this movie? We're going to do that. The therapist lying about having talked to Dexter Loomis. He says, you have terrible fashion sense and the way you eat is atrocious. And he's just the most obnoxious person ever. And Austin Theory breaks out crying and has to be escorted from the room by Johnny Gargano, who comes back in to tell the therapist, that was a great job. You kicked me out. It was a great piece of improv. You earned every bit of this, which is just awesome. Oh yeah. He takes $100 back and says arcade money. It's okay, Austin. We're going to Chuck E. Cheese. This was so great. This is the kind of thing that I watch and I go, see, that's not Wednesday Night Raw. They never do something yes. this clever or well-produced on Raw. This is the something that, like, this is what sets it apart. Please, more of this.
We haven't seen them pull something like that off since, like, Team Hell No.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, and they got over huge as well. This was really, really great. They continue to knock it out of the park. Ever Riser in the ring. They get beat up by Legado del Fantasma and says that people will pay if they mistake what happened last week for weakness. Well, here's the thing. It's not just that. It's like the last 6 months I mistake for weakness.
Yeah. That's just poorly being used. Like that's the thing is like they put the title on Escobar. And it got him a little faction, and they didn't do anything with him. And the first real thing of note they did with him was have him pick a fight with Karrion Kross, which he lost. And I actually thought, oh no, this is it. This is kind of it for Santos Escobar. Nope. The next week he comes out. He and his buddies beat up two tag teams. They beat up Breezango first in their astronaut costumes. And then he cuts a promo saying, don't mistake last week for weakness. If you ever cross, he says it in Spanish. Otherwise, if you do and you cross paths with us, that's it for you. That's perfect. Like now I'm taking him seriously again. That's good.
Nerd Guru, thanks, Robert, for getting the reference. I thank you for sending that super chat just about that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that an awful lot. Casey's out of action. We had mentioned that earlier on, but we got a main event because we had an opening segment, or we had not an opening segment, a segment later on. Roderick Strong comes out. He wants Adam Cole out there, but Finn Balor does. He was like, well, I know how to get Adam Cole out here. Next week, I want him in a title match. I'm bored with Finn Balor's reign, but I was not bored with this freaking match. This match. Finn Balor defeated Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole comes out at the end. That goddamn fireman's carry that Finn Balor turned into a double foot stomp was amazing.
Oh, my God, that was so good.
That was unreal. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's why every so often I'm like, man, Finn Balor is so good. It's not when he gets the mic and he turns it sideways and the camera goes sideways and he goes, next week, or something like that.
No.
It's this. And, man, he is so good in the ring. This was, I thought, a takeover quality main event.
Oh, so good. And Roderick Strong is one of those guys that we don't really appreciate for how great he is in the ring, because he's the kind of like the dumb guy sidekick of the UE for so long. Like he had a decent a North American Championship run. He's always turns in good matches, but he went to work tonight against Finn Balor, and Finn Balor has stepped up his game and matched him strike for strike and hold for hold. This was a brilliant match with a I thought, oh, you're not really going to protect Roddy Strong with an Adam Cole run-in, are you? And they didn't, to their credit. Roderick Strong can take this loss to Finn Balor. It was a great match. He lost fair and square. And then you get Adam Cole versus Finn Balor next week on the same night as you get Io Shirai versus Toni Storm for the women's title next week. Two top title matches next week on Wednesday. They may be moving to Tuesday, but they're not going quietly.
So I want to be sitting here next week, and I'll keep this short, talking about Adam Cole regaining the NXT Championship and defending that title at some point down the line against Kyle O'Reilly at TakeOver WrestleMania weekend. Adam Cole is tried and true. Finn Balor's great. Finn Balor spent a little too much time on the main roster because it didn't work, and at least not for me. I think he's got a little too much Monday Night Raw, and it interjected that a little bit too much onto the Wednesday night show.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair criticism to make. Guys, lots of stuff happened this week. AEW, NWA, NXT, switching nights, all kinds of stuff. But I want to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Match Madness. Airing every day in March on YouTube. Let's get Alex. You know what? We'll do one of these. I told you guys about this on Monday. I wanted to tell you guys more about this. They've announced Match Madness, and they already have several matches that have aired. 32 wrestlers, 31 matches, 31 days. Go to dailyres.com. That's daily, WRES.com. That'll take you to their YouTube channel. And every day in March at 7 p.m. Eastern, you'll be able to see the likes of EC3, Simon Gotch, Hammerstone, Sean Devari, Beastman, Lee Moriarty, AJZ, Casey Lennox, so many more. You can subscribe to their YouTube channel now by going to dailyrest.com, and you'll be given notifications every day of the new daily upload. You can find out more about so many of these talents by going to dailyrest.com as well. All 31 matches air completely free on YouTube, and you can support what they're doing by joining the Daily Wrestling Patreon, which launched on the first day of this month. You got to check them out. Hiro Lu against Nick Bugatti runs tomorrow. They had Hammerstone versus Klaus on Monday. And like I said, a lot of names you guys are familiar with. EC3, Simon Gotch, Hammerstone, Daivari, Lee Moriarty, who you all have seen on Fightful. And then this just fantastic mix of prospects as well. This concludes on Wednesday, March 31st, with the finals being fought under a 60-minute time limit. Please check them out. And Anakin JMT, he actually checked them out. He says, Match Madness has been fun. ASJ and Hammerstone are future stars. I mean, Hammerstone's a star right now. He is running things in MLW. He is getting the monster push over there. Check out Match Madness, guys. You all are going to love it. And, I mean, here's the thing. I don't push something without finding out if it's good or not. And I hit up multiple people that were a part of this. And I said, hey, listen, these people hit me up. If it sucks, I don't want to be any part of it. And they said, nope, it's really good. And I said, well, you know what? I'm all for it. And look, Luis Polito said, Klaus versus Hammerstone humped. It sure did.
I have to say, Hammerstone is ready for Raw right now. Lee Moriarty is the best in-ring competitor in the industry, bar none.
I think EC3 is doing some great stuff. One of my favorite exchanges I ever saw live was Simon Gotch and Chad Gable chain wrestling, and you could tell they were just doing it all in the ring. They were just calling it all. So very excited about that, guys. Check it out. Match Madness, dailywrests.com. Look them up on YouTube at Daily Wrestling. Robert, tell the people where they can find you.
Find me every day on Fightful.com, and that's only going to get even more true as they add to the schedule. And you can find me on Twitter at Dude Felice.
I got us some more help. Gisberto's coming in I'm negative one, waving everybody in. Come on! They added another night! Fuck! That's how I feel. I'm looking at that WrestleMania week schedule, and I'm like, my wife's a school teacher. I'm like, when's your spring break? Please let it be that week. It's not. Oh. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. And I was just thinking, Sean, remember when it was just the two of us?
Yes.
Imagine this, and it's just you and me, man. Just you and me, eye to eye. Let's do this, man.
So that's the thing. Like, it was a big deal to hire Robert as a weekend guy last year. Before that, it was me and you. Then it was like me and somebody else. Then it became me, Jeremy, Andrew. And then when we got burned out to the point, Andrew was like, I can't do this anymore. I was like, okay, I'm bringing in a weekend guy too. And now we've got the weekend guy. We've got the two full-time weekday guys. We got me to pepper in stuff whenever something's missed. But even then, it's like, there's too much. But even 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, a fraction of this stuff was on TV.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like, Lucha Underground was the third biggest show then.
I'm doing a rewatch of that right now because it's for free on this some app called Tubi TV. I'm doing a rewatch of that, and I'm gonna talk about every Saturday on Sour Graps. I'm gonna talk about
SmackDown,
but that's a much shorter show. So I'm also gonna talk about what I'm watching on Lucha Underground to get people like, this is what I love. Also, this Saturday is the 150th episode of Sour Graps, so it's gonna be the sesquicentennial Sour Liberation. We'll do some fun stuff on that.
I think season one of Lucha Underground is some of the most fun shit, man.
God, it's so good.
Admittedly, probably about the end of season two, after that, I was like, okay.
No.
But like the build of Son of Havoc and Helico and Eva Lise.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Boy.
Ricochet, under a mask as Prince Puma, is the first champion of Lucha Underground. He wins it in a 20-man gauntlet match. And then the next episode, his first title defense is against Rey Fénix. Like, this had some of the best wrestlers in the world on it, and nobody got a chance to watch it because it was on a network nobody had.
Yeah.
It's out there. It's the app Tubi is on everything. You can watch it. It's so good.
Hear me out. The Hall of Fame level talent, Dario Cueto. Oh, give him to me.
That'd be so amazing. Cueto on AEW.
I need him out there doling out unique opportunities.
And every time he books a ladder match, he has to scream it.
Yes.
Ladder match!
Guys, thank you all so much. Reminder, me, Sam Laterna, making predictions on Thursday. But tune into The List and Your Boy. It's our new show every single week. So all these big news stories that you hear about, we are covering on List and Your Boy Until next time, we're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.